Kelly Ireland, DaleWileyShow.com.
And so today I'm talking to Kelly Ireland. And Kelly and I have a long history going back to Washington University. And so tell me about that.
Well, I went to WashU at the same time as you did. We graduated, what, 94?
Yes, we
sure did. I don't
know
if I'm supposed to, date us that way.
I'm proud of my age, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, me too. yeah, I was a theater major, but I spent a lot more time in the radio station, probably, than I did in the theater.
Right.
I was a DJ at KWIR, and I was a general manager at KWIR my senior year. And then I was editor-in-chief of a music magazine that we did there. I think John talked about that on your show. I listened to her.
Right. Sure did.
Her bit. And so I worked on Sample, which I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yes. Well, let's talk about how did you first get interested in music?
In music? I don't know. I guess I think I love the idea of this sort of, I don't know what just popped into my mind as I sort of started thinking of like WKRP in Cincinnati and
right.
And I love the idea of like of DJing and sort of that kind of up
right.
all night
wonderful,
you know,
yes.
pulling things out of the stacks and
right.
finding things that you've never heard before. But I always like music. I always loved listening to, you know, Casey Kasem's show. I remember loving that the first time I heard it. And sort of, of course, MTV. And
right.
Yeah, it was just like one of those things I always kind of loved. And I loved being a part of that. And I always thought it was fun. It was fun time to be in St. Louis because...
Definitely.
Yeah, because there was a lot going on with bands like Uncle Tupelo and things like that. But I also
right.
found that like St. Louis was an interesting spot because when bands toured, they always hit it. You know,
right.
It's a cliche. It's a gateway to the West, I guess. And so it was sort of a spot you always hit, but the venues were really kind of small. It's not like it wasn't a Chicago or a, you know, it's not a big enough, like when I moved to LA and started seeing bands, the venues got bigger, you know, there were so
right.
many people. And so, you know, you could see bands that you loved in really small spaces. You know, I saw
yes, absolutely.
Nirvana at Mississippi Nights in 92. And that's crazy, really.
Yes,
actually.
It really is.
You know, so.
Well, what were some of those concerts? What really affected you?
Well, of course, I remember that. That stands out in my mind, the Nirvana concert. And it's actually, I remember reading an article. There was I don't know what year it was after Kurt Cobain died or something. It was like, I don't know, it was like maybe a 10-year anniversary or 20 maybe.
Right.
They actually mentioned that concert in it because it was so small. And
right. It was right before it hit. And
yeah.
So I actually think it was the fall of 91.
Yes, you're right. That's when it was. Yeah, it was fall of 91, exactly.
Yes.
And it was, because it was sophomore year. And so that was definitely stood out to me. I'm trying to think who else I saw that I really loved. I was a big fan of the Grifters. I saw them many, many times.
Right.
And, you know, Uncle Tupelo, of course. And
yes.
I was seeing Green Day. And
right.
Oh, gosh. So many. I could probably we could go back and forth all day. It was fun shows. It was a fun time. It was a fun time to be into music for sure. And
right.
It was a fun place to be into music. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, that opening scene, I mean, it was just like watching music history roll by when you think of all the stuff now between Wilco and Sunbolt and everything else. And being
yeah.
a part of that scene when it was first starting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It was a cool time.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now you're from Tyler, Texas, is that right?
I am. I grew up in Texas and my family is still there. My mom is in Tyler still. She kinda goes back and forth between there and San Antonio, which is where my sister is, and her family, her, my nieces, they're all in San Antonio. So we go back and forth, although with the pandemic, I haven't been back since,
right.
I guess, last holiday. Yeah, last Christmas, I guess. And so I miss them and I miss Texas, but I'm optimistic that I will see them soon. So.
Yes, absolutely. And so now you're in Los Angeles, and that's the point when I had my second renewal is with you. And tell me about that.
So I'm sorry, ask the question again. What about just like how did I get out there? Tell me about that.
And you went to USC, right, at some point?
Yeah, I did. I stayed in St. Louis for a year after college. I worked at the St. Louis Science Center. It was a projectionist.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, at the
I love that place.
Theater. Yeah, I do. That was a fun time. And then the following year I went to USC, and so
right.
Graduate school production of film school, and
right.
It was a great experience. I met a lot of great people that I'm still very close to this day. I think my closest friends in LA are people I knew through USC.
Right.
After that, I made a short film and I started working on screenwriting and I wrote a few things and got a little bit of interest, but it was hard, and I was doing work as a sound effects editor too, part time, and that was kind of interesting. It was like, I can remember when I first got out of film school, it was like I got this job. And it wasn't a night shift, even. It was on a show called Real TV. I don't know if you remember it. It was like this weird, it was all like found footage. It was before reality television. It was like,
right.
Like footage that people would send in of like a skateboard crash or a, like a, you know, a funny dog on a skateboard. Or I don't know. I can't even think. Like, or like an accident that was really crazy or something. It was all like, I don't know where it came from, but it was like America's Funniest Home Videos, but it wasn't always funny. It was like terrible. And I would add, we had crash sounds or sirens or whatever to
right.
those things. And what was crazy is like, it wasn't even, they had two shifts of editors, you know, one during the day, or sound editors, one during the day and one at night. And they actually hired me to come in for like this third shift at like 2 o'clock in the morning to 6 a.m. before the day guy came in. You know, it
really?
Was, but I thought it was so awesome. It was like, I'd never made so much money in my life. I thought it was like the greatest job in the world.
Right.
But that was kind of like my first real job out of, in television, I guess. And I really liked television. I really like working in television. So I wasn't having that much luck as a screenwriter, and I think I didn't really have the patience and the persistence that you have to have to, like,
right.
You know, I wanted to start working, really, and
right.
So I sort of switched over to, and it was at the same time the reality TV started coming around at that time, and I think there was even a writer's strike, which is also sort of like putting a thorn in the side of the screenwriting idea.
Right.
And so I got into reality television. Doing like story producing, which was kind of cool because it sort of scratched my writing itch. But and it
okay.
was, because I got to actually like make stories. But I was using like real footage, like live footage, and I really enjoyed that. You know, it was just I was actually just thinking about that as I was, you know, listening. It was like I kind of liked the production of that. It's like you don't ever know what's going to happen, and it's sort of. You know, I was thinking about like when you work with actors and you're really setting up a shot and trying to make it specific. You know, you can kind of have a specific idea of what you're going for, but with reality TV, it's a little like you don't know what you're gonna get. You just start rolling and then you have kind of this puzzle to work with afterwards. So it's fun. Yeah. So
and then at some point you got on the Doctors. And so you actually met another friend of mine from Crane. His name is Jeff Kynes.
Yeah, Jeff is great. And I did. I kind of went back and forth. I did like some reality shows. I did like things like Fear Factor. And And somehow I ended up doing some primetime specials for the Dr. Phil show.
Really?
Yeah. And then that kind of got me into daytime television, and that's how I kind of got onto the doctors. I started working for the Dr. Phil show, doing the tape packages for them, basically the background packages and anything they would do out in the field. I was involved with that for a while. And that's a really hard show to work on for a number of reasons. And so when I had the opportunity to go on Doctors, I took that because Doctors was a really fun show. And I did that for 5 years on staff, which I really enjoyed that. And that's when I worked with Jeff, and he was great. And the whole post-production team was great. They're all still good friends of mine to this day. And I have worked with some of those editors from the Doctors since. I left the Doctors in 2018 and worked on another show and brought some of those Doctors editors to work with on that show too. So that was really fun.
Back with Kelly in a minute. DaleWileyShow.com.
Do you love music? Do you know about the musical map of Missouri?
Dallas Wayne,
Chuck Berry,
Dave Alvin, Robbie Folks,
The Skeletons,
The Ozark Mountain Daredevils,
Uncle Tupelo,
Wayne Carson,
Nelly,
Lou Whitney,
Symptoms Morel,
Kansas City, Jeff City,
St. Louis,
St. Joe,
Columbia,
Buckle of the Bible Belt,
The Studio on South Avenue in Springfield,
Missouri.
Add the Missouri Music Podcast to your list of favorites. Lawyer, author, and Slewfoot Records label owner Dale Wiley takes you on a musical trip around Missouri while raising funds for Musical Map of Missouri, a nonprofit organization which will help ensure Missouri musicians affected by COVID-19. Visit MissouriMusicPodcast.com for more information. Tune in to the Missouri Music Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
More with Kelly Ireland, DaleWileyShow.com.
I left the Doctors in 2018 and worked on another show and brought some of those Doctors editors to work with on that show too. So that was really fun.
What was that show?
That show was called Dating with Filter. I think it's actually, that was kind of weird because I did two seasons with them, and it's a show. It is on E. It's a dating show where they have these comedians watch. We set people up on dates, and then they have comedians like watch the dates. I mean, it sounds like your worst nightmare if you're dating, but it's actually like really funny to have people like making fun of you. You know, It's actually cute, and I think the comedians are funny and they're pretty respectful. So it's a fun show to watch and to work on. You know, I don't always like to watch the shows I work on, but this is what I did, and so that was fun. But what happened? The pandemic. I was kind of gearing up for a season three, or hoping that we would do a season three, and then the pandemic started, and so they're actually just now airing half the shows that we shot for season two. So I don't know when and if a season three is. I mean, it's not really something you can shoot with during the pandemic. You can't have people go out on dates in this situation. But hopefully that will get back up and running again. But if not, we'll see I don't know what's next. We'll see.
Right. So, you know, being in that kind of, you know, status during the pandemic, I mean, that's got to be strange. And so what are you doing during the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was strange. Because I was not working before it hit, and kind of looking and in talks and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden there was like nothing, you know, there was no work. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you were lucky enough to already be on a show that was going into post-production, you know, you might be able to be able to work from home until that wraps. You know,
right.
That might buy you like, you know, a few months worth of work. But nothing was shooting. So it was pretty bad. But I kind of looked at it as like an opportunity to, you know, get back to my roots. I actually started writing again, and kind of just working on my own personal projects as, like, you know, because there was really not much I could do in terms of getting out and getting on a show. So I just sort of, took some time and did some writing, which I hadn't done in a long time. And that has been really fun. And what's kind of cool is I feel like my experience in reality television, and especially in daytime doing packages for the doctors and Dr. Phil, I felt like I was a better writer all of a sudden. I was like, oh, wow, I haven't done this in a while. But there, I understand a little bit more about, I don't know, pacing, just all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh,
yes.
I see how this has really improved, you know, helped me with this. The two skills are not as separate as I thought they were.
Right.
So that's been interesting. And so that's kind of how I've been spending my pandemic time. Things are starting to pick up a little bit here. Like, I'm starting to hear about things and kind of, talking to people about things that might start shooting. But I think the problem is a lot of things are shooting and then they're stopping and then they're starting and then they're stopping. So we'll see. You know, I think it's the holidays now, which is always slow too. So, but I think after the new year, things will probably pick up a little bit more.
That'll be fun and interesting to see how different it is.
But, yes.
You know, basically, let's go back to music in St. Louis. And so, what were your best times, and what were some of the local bands you really enjoyed?
Well, I enjoyed, obviously, Ogle Tupelo, and I'm trying to even remember. I can remember Mud Fudge. Do you remember those guys?
Yes,
I remember those
absolutely.
Those friends of ours.
Gigs
and
Mud Fudge, yes.
And Mercy Me, those guys
absolutely,
were fun.
Yes.
God, I can't even remember who else was, what else was a local band. Oh, God. My ex-boyfriend was in Enormous Richard with I did like them. although they weren't playing as much when we were dating, they did kind of reinvent themselves as Eleanor Roosevelt. I don't know if you ever were familiar with that, but that's kind of interesting. Yeah, they have some good stuff. I can't remember. Oh, well, I mean, Ann Berman and Ann Tull and I had our own little band for a while. Oh, Bunny Grunt. Okay. Do you remember those guys? Those guys were fun.
Who was that?
Bunny Grunt.
Oh, yes. I love them.
Yeah, they were fun. we played a little bit, and that was a super, super, super fun time, too. But we were terrible. We weren't really good.
What was your band?
We were called the Bean Boys. We were the Bean Boys.
Okay, but we
didn't play very long and very much. But I can remember doing something at, like, what was that Garlic Place on Del Mar, Celine?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right. I can remember playing there, and I can remember playing at Cicero's once, but that's about it. So it was fun.
Yes. Well, you know, that was a fun time, and I guess that then I just have one more question for you, which is, you know, I mean, if you're talking about the stuff that we're doing during the pandemic to try to help musicians and all the stuff that we're doing in Missouri, what kind of advice would you give us to help musicians keep their heads up and learn that this is going to be, there's going to still be music and still be things going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Gosh, I could just say, like, you know, it's I don't know. I feel like this is sort of a time when people can kind of think outside the box a little bit.
Refocus, yes.
Yeah, you know, kind of go, like I said, kind of go back to your roots or learn something new. You know, it's like I've been, again, like I started writing for the first time in a long time, and I feel like the musician could. I mean, I'm not much of a musician myself, so I don't know exactly what the process is like, but, you know, what they might kind of go back to and sort of revisit old processes and old music or do stuff like online, or, you know, take advantage of some of the live Zoom stuff that people do, and
Right.
The creative kind of ways of kind of getting yourself out there on, you know, I was listening, I was actually listening to your podcast with Dawn and thinking about how it used to be. And that's like, I was thinking, you know, I could totally relate to what she was talking about. And like when I was a kid or in high school, we used to have to go to Dallas.
Oh, absolutely.
To get any, to see any concerts, and B, there was a record store there called Bill's Records and Tapes that we used to go to, and they would have more interesting records than we had at our local, you know, Hastings or whatever it was. And so, you know, kids don't have to do that these days. They can just find anything they want online, and I think musicians could probably take advantage of that, right? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. I'm still kind of out of that world right now. Is you know, not like, you know, somebody like Dawn who's definitely in it. So I don't really know what resources musicians would have, but I would think, you know, you just kind of have to rethink. Although I'm sure they're missing the live interaction with the
right. You know, and actually, at that point, brings me back to when we went to New York.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do. I remember that very well.
Well,
it was fun. I stayed with. Did you stay with Dawn too? We both did.
No,
can't remember.
No, I didn't stay with Dawn.
Yeah, I was. I couldn't remember. Yeah, I remember that. It was somewhere on the Lower East Side. And I remember going to CBGB's.
Right.
And I can't remember what else was there at the time.
Well, that was during CMJ. And so what was that experience like? Because I remember so vividly we went to see Brandon Bush's brother, Christian.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I remember I was on a panel for Sample Magazine. Dawn had set that up to talk about that. And I was with, like, I can remember it was like two other college music DJ people, like, that did. I remember this guy from UCLA. And anyway, I remember that. And I remember going to see. I remember the John Spencer Blues Explosion, and I can't remember who else we saw. And this is like, it's all a blur. Like, it's all, I remember Bill Buckman was there.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
a long
really
time ago. Yeah, I haven't seen Bill in ages.
You know, you don't think about all the people that you knew in your college and you don't get to see again. But
I know.
He was amazing. I loved him.
Yeah, sweet guy. He actually worked with me at the Science Center too.
Right.
And he was
in some bands, and so again, it's just like seeing all these people come around and seeing how cool it is to reconnect with so many people.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
that way.
And so that's why I want to have you on the podcast, and thank you for coming on. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. This has been super fun. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Right. So anyway, I'll cut that up and put it up in the morning, and thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, thank you, Dale. Really, truly, it is an honor to be on the show. And I enjoyed listening to Dawn and Barry Levy and Jeff, of course. I listened to that too. That was
absolutely
interesting.
DaleWileyShow.com.